From the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
One day, as Jesus was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there, and the power of the Lord was with him for healing. And some men brought on a stretcher a man who was paralyzed. They were trying to bring him in and set him in his presence. But not finding a way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on the stretcher through the tiles into the middle in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "As for you, your sins are forgiven." Then the scribes and the Pharisees began to ask themselves, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who alone but God can forgive sins?" Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them in reply, "What are you thinking in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the one who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, pick up your stretcher, and go home." He stood up immediately before them, picked up what he had been lying on, and went home, glorifying God. Then astonishment seized them all, and they glorified God. And struck with awe, they said, "We have seen incredible things today." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Yesterday, St. John the Baptist proclaimed to us from the Jordan to make straight the way of the Lord. On Saturday, we heard about the Messiah who would come, would give bread to the hungry, water to the thirsty, and come up from behind and say, "This is the way, walk in it." Today in Isaiah, we see exactly what that way John was preparing, what that way the Messiah would whisper for us to walk in is. A highway called the Holy Way. And there are three characteristics of that eternal expressway. First, no one unclean may pass on it. What that means is, in order to walk on that road to holiness, we need God's mercy. That God's mercy comes even before our action, even before our repentance, even before all the stuff we do to make straight the path. God's already acting to clean us. Second, it's for those with a journey to make. If we've given in to spiritual inertia, if we say, "I don't want to move," if we don't think we have to leave where we are and go to a new place, we won't be able to meet Jesus this Advent on that road called the Holy Way. That our faith is fundamentally dynamic. God is constantly coming, and he wants us constantly going out to meet him, so that transformed by him, we might then be sent out by him to continue his work. So it's for those with a journey to make, and we always have a journey to make. Our whole life is a pilgrimage. Third, on it, the redeemed will walk. First, the redeemed, those who have been bought back by Jesus, who has come on in the Redeemer. But once we've been redeemed, that's not the end of the process. In terms that are very important for us as we prepare for the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation next year. Justification isn't enough. Sanctification comes later. Yes, God gives us all of that grace and restores us, but then he wants to sanctify us. He wants to intensify that life. And that's the walk of the redeemed, following the Redeemer on that holy way. Three criteria. Only the unclean shall pass on it. So we cry out for the Lord's mercy. Second, those who have a journey to make. Those who know that they're not where they're supposed to be. Third, the redeemed walk with the Redeemer and with the rest of the redeemed on that path. Now we know from another part of the gospel that Jesus described two roads. He said the road to perdition was broad and there were many on it. And the road to life is narrow and few find it. What does that mean? That the real highway on which most people are walking is the highway to hell. And it's very congested. The road to holiness has few on it. And that the whole work of Jesus, the whole work of the church, is to get people who are going in the wrong direction converted, turned around, to get on that road in the right direction, so that hopefully the numbers totally change. And many are purified by the Lord, so that they'll make the journey of the redeemed along with us. But just as we were on that highway to hell once, and others acted in our life, so we likewise need to spend our life calling people on to this expressway. In today's gospel, we see the type of love that is given by true friends who recognized that their paralyzed pal was unable to make the journey to the Lord. St. John was telling us yesterday with Isaiah that valleys must be filled in, that mountains must be lowered, that debris must be cleared, that there are lots of obstacles that can be in the way in that path between journey and us. And so there's a lot of work that needs to be done to clear that road. Today in the gospel we see that these true friends didn't let any obstacle stop them. When they got to the door, it was way too crowded and nobody was making room. Just think about that, for a paralyzed man to come into the presence. They said okay, and they climbed up on the roof. And I know we've talked about it before, but I just can't get this image out of my head, how hard it is when you've got a paralyzed man and you're going to try to climb the roof with him. He's not going to be able to brace the fall. If as you're carrying up that stretcher, it tips in one direction, he comes and he can fall flat on his head. And yet, the four of them somehow get a couple up on the roof, get a couple lifting him up, and they do it in a way that they keep him level. And then when they get up there, they start taking off the roof in order to literally drop him. St. Luke's word in Greek is on top of Jesus. Nothing was going to stop them. That's how much they love their friend. And when they're there, we know what happens. It's the three paths of Isaiah from today. First thing is sins, as Isaiah says. No one unclean may pass over it. Jesus looks at the man and says, as for you, your sins are forgiven. that path is one for somebody with a journey to make. So the second step is Jesus has him make that journey of faith. I tell you, rise. He, the risen one, says, get up, rise. Pick up your stretcher. Pick up what was immobile. Pick up where you were staying and thought that you couldn't move. And go. Go home. He starts to make that journey. Then it's a journey on which the redeemed will walk. So where do we see that redemption? He stood up immediately before them, picked up what he had been lying on, and went home glorifying God. Full of God's glory, full of the gift of that redemption. We rejoice, sisters, that so many have helped us make this journey. We think about our parents and godparents bringing us to baptism. We think of so many who brought Jesus to us and brought us to Jesus along the way. We think about those agents in our multiple conversions over the course of our life. We think about those who inspired us to follow them on the journey of holiness. Think about that first person we knew was really holy when we said, wow. And perhaps I'd like to be like that. We think about all those who have prayed for us since the first time Jesus said, pray to the harvest master to send laborers for his fields. We think about those praying for us right now in convents and in prison cells all across our world. We think about each other, how so often we've prayed for each other when the other was sick or when the other was in need or when the other was mourning, loss of a loved one, or would ask for prayers. And we bring each other regularly. And how much help we need for all three of these things to be truly purified, to overcome that lethargy and get up again and make the journey. And that journey of the redeemed, trying to bring as many as possible onto that way. What an extraordinary gift it is to be able to make that journey together, not solo, because we need each other's help. And that journey leads to and starts from what we do right here. This is where we meet the same Jesus who purified this paralyzed man. As we prepare to receive Jesus' risen body, he helps us to get up. He helps us not to remain where we are with whatever spiritual paralysis we have. He wants us to be able to go, not just home, but to the whole world and make it his home. Glorifying God in such a way that just like him, astonishment would seize everyone. So that they too glorify God and struck with awe would say, we've seen incredible things today. Today we turn to the Lord and we ask him to do what Isaiah prophesied, to strengthen our hands so that they may pray and serve, to fortify our knees so that they might genuflect and serve, to encourage our hearts so that they will have no fear, but boldly give love to the full. To open our eyes so that we might see him, the Lamb of God who is about to take away our sins, who took away the sins of the world, so that we might see him in others, who will clear our ears so that we might hear his voice and the cry of those in need, so that we might leap like stags and our tongues be open to sing his praises. This is the Lord who is coming to save us, and salvation lies along the way of his steps. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.